So I know everybody's been talking about how long it took Biden to do an actual press conference. What, more than 2 months at this point?
Mm-hmm. Day 65.
Day 65. Okay, 65 days. But let's put that in perspective.
After 17 years underground, creatures are stirring.
These cicadas that are going to be swarming the eastern U.S. this summer.
The nymphs of the periodical cicada have been biding their time. Now they march like zombies towards the nearest tree and start to climb.
They've been waiting to do this for 17 years, so think about that.
Good point.
Thank you. Thank you. At least I didn't get crickets on that one. I'm Jeremy Siegel. This is Politico Dispatch. And today,
for turtles and other inhabitants of the forest, this is a feast they're lucky to see once in their lifetime. And they gorge themselves while they can.
Maybe not a once in a lifetime feast, but once in 65 days? Anyways, Emily Cadet. On how, like the cicadas, Biden's out of hibernation. Unlike the cicadas, it just wasn't that exciting. All right, Emily, 65 days in the making. Critics on the left and the right saying, where's Biden? Everybody's been waiting for this. Did it live up to the hype?
I don't think so. It was pretty anticlimactic overall. Huh. A lot of that is credit to the president and his preparation. But I think also the failure on the press corps' part to ask some questions.
Interesting. What were some of the things that they did not ask about?
The biggest question is they didn't ask anything about the pandemic. Mm. You could say that's because the White House has largely been successful in meeting its goals thus far.
First, on vaccinations. On December 8th, I indicated that I hope to get 100 million shots in people's arms in my first 100 days. We met that goal last week by day 58.
They've now upped that goal to 200 million.
Now today I'm setting a second goal, and that is we will, by my 100th day in office, have administered 200 million shots in people's arms.
They're still working to get schools reopened, as Biden had promised, but they're making improvements on that front. It seems like maybe the drama is gone, I think, a little bit from the discussion about solutions, at least government solutions, when it comes to the pandemic. But the fact is, on the ground, we're all still struggling with this. So I thought that was striking that the reporters didn't ask more about COVID-19.
That is interesting. I also feel like what can be interesting during these press conferences, even if they're not that exciting, like what can be most revealing sort of is what the president, the person talking, doesn't address. You know, we just talked about what reporters didn't ask. Is there anything that Biden didn't answer or like evaded answers on that's significant here?
Well, he certainly dodged a lot on the filibuster question, right? That was a big focus.
The filibuster, that's the old Senate rule that makes it so you basically need 60 votes instead of a simple majority to get legislation passed.
Mm-hmm.
What did he say about that?
He seemed to open the door a little bit more on what he would be willing to consider in terms of change, but he wasn't willing to be pinned down.
Regarding the filibuster, at John Lewis's funeral, President Barack Obama said he believed the filibuster was a relic of the Jim Crow era. Do you agree?
Yes.
If not, why not abolish it if it's a relic of the Jim Crow era?
Successful electoral politics is the art of the possible. Let's figure out how we can get this done and move in the direction of significantly changing the abuse of even the filibuster rule first.
He seemed to want to emphasize that he wanted to try and work within the existing system.
Our preoccupation with the filibuster is totally legitimate, but in the meantime, we got a lot we can do while we're talking about what we're going to do about the filibuster.
You know, there was a lot of kind of dodging and weaving on the filibuster.
It sounds like you're moving closer to eliminating the filibuster. Is that correct?
I answered your question.
He also was a little bit vague about whether he'd run again in 2024. He said he expected to.
So is that a yes that you are running for re-election?
Look, I don't know where you guys come from, man. I've never been able to travel. I'm a great respecter of fate. I've never been able to plan 4.5, 3.5 years ahead for certain.
And if you do run, will Vice President Harris be on your ticket?
I would fully expect that to be the case. She's doing a great job. She's a great partner.
So we'll see what the future holds in regards to his electoral ambitions.
Hmm. What do you think we learned from this press conference about Biden himself and his relationship with the press?
It's much more traditional. In some ways, we're returning to the old days pre-Trump. Mm-hmm. When it comes to sort of the push and pull with press, there's still certainly an adversarial relationship in the sense that we're trying to get information that the White House may or may not want to share with us. They have a narrative they're trying to communicate. You saw, for example, Biden turning a question about gun legislation into an answer about infrastructure.
Successful presidents better than me have been successful in large part because they know how to time what they're doing. The next major initiative is to rebuild the infrastructure, both physical and technological infrastructure of this country.
Because that's the pitch he wants to make. I did think it was noteworthy and was commenting with another coworker at Politico about how you would never see Trump or Obama have cut themselves off. And yet Biden at one point asked if he was talking too long and then stopped talking to allow the reporter to ask another question.
Am I giving you too long an answer? Because if you don't want the detail. No, but I mean, I don't know how much detail you want about immigration. Maybe I'll stop there and finish.
So, you know, there were some very Biden-esque type moments like that. But overall, I think this is, we've been used to the sort of the chaos and the drama that certainly a Trump news conference would have created over the past 4 years. And this was much more of a standard affair in terms of a White House press conference of the past.
You know, going back to the timing of how long it took for him to do a press conference, you know, I've talked to some people who have like asked me, if this were President Trump, wouldn't you have been making the biggest deal in the world about the fact that he hasn't talked to the press? And, you know, I'm not saying that's like right or wrong, that question, but I am curious, do you think we have seen a sort of shift in any way, the way that the press is treating the White House and the office of the president going from President Trump to President Biden here?
I think the press has made a pretty big deal about the delay in giving a press conference. But I also am aware that there are a lot of other issues in the world right now that like the average person is probably more concerned about than whether or not Biden has mm-hmm. has given a press conference.
Yeah.
I will say, you know, in fairness to them, they do have regular White House briefings again with the press secretary in a way that the Trump White House did not. So obviously the delay in the press conference from Biden sort of raised expectations. Are they scared of putting him out there? Is he going to say things? You know, he has this sort of reputation over his years in politics of being, I think he himself described himself as a gaffe machine. So, you know, he comes in with sort of these low expectations, and then the delay kind of created more speculation about that. And the fact that he didn't have any major gaffes helps him out in the long run. So maybe lowering the bar is good for him in the end of the day.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I am curious about that. I mean, is there anything you think that Republicans or critics of the president are coming away from this whole experience with as like ammunition for attacks against him?
I think some of his responses on immigration, that's really the issue they've been whacking away at the last few weeks.
Well, look, I guess I should be flattered. People are coming because I'm the nice guy. That's the reason why it's happening. That I'm a decent man, or however it's phrased, that, you know, that's why they're coming, because no, Biden's a good guy. Truth of the matter is, nothing has changed.
They're essentially blaming him for the increase in people coming to the border, trying to cross.
It happens every single solitary year. There is a significant increase in the number of people coming to the border in the winter months of January, February, March. It happens every year.
I don't know that there's anything else they can really seize on from this press conference, because he really didn't get knocked off his message that much. Maybe the filibuster, the fact that he kind of cracked the door open slightly more, those might be the type of comments they'll jump on. But there's not a lot out of this, I think, that really will be easy to make hay of for them.
Emily Cadet, thanks so much for talking with me.
Absolutely.
Also, Today, the Federal Election Commission says members of the House and Senate will now be allowed to hire bodyguards with campaign funds. The commission issued the ruling, which applies to when Congress members are not being protected by Capitol law enforcement on the Hill. After 3 hours of deliberating, it comes as lawmakers at every level of government are looking to protect themselves amid a flood of threats against them, their families, and members of their staff. And House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is warning Democrats against running in California's likely gubernatorial recall election. If the recall happens, it'd put two questions to voters: whether Governor Newsom should be recalled and who should replace him. If Newsom gets a majority on the first question, the other candidates are irrelevant. But if voters recall Newsom and there's no fallback Democrat, a Republican could claim the governor's office with a plurality of the vote, a prospect that's divided Democrats. Pelosi's comments give strong reinforcements to Newsom's efforts to keep other Democrats away. She also suggested that national Democrats will continue mobilizing support for him. The Politico Dispatch production team includes senior producer Jenny Ament and executive producer Irene Noguchi. I'm Jeremy Siegel. Thanks for listening.